Worship City Alliance. I just kind of like the name of it, first of all. Yeah, and what a gift it is to live in this town, right? We sort of hit on that already, but that's actually quite important. You didn't end up here accidentally, and you didn't stay here accidentally. You're here for a purpose, and you're here for a reason. And I think that we need to recognize that and acknowledge that God has brought us here to this city, and there's a reason for it. And to firmly plant yourself where you're planted, firmly establish yourself, and let the Lord use you. There's a reason that you're here. I actually just thank you guys for creating Worship Alliance, and I thank you for including me in what the Lord has called you guys to do. And now we have an alliance. Super cool, and I thank you for having me. I want to lastly just thank Jerry. He's my new friend. He's like, "How you doing, my new friend?" Like on text and stuff. And we met, I guess, 2 weeks ago, and it's or three, and it's been really fun since then. And I want to thank you, Jerry, for your interest. And I can only assume by the DNA that you've created here, thank you for your interest in seeing people come to Jesus, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's my honor, you guys, to give God the glory this morning. I recently found a verse and I just love it. It's that he didn't stammer. He was strengthened in his faith as he gave God the glory. Praise the Lord. So I just love that so much. So it's my honor to share of God's greatness in what we are actually seeing him do right now. I want to start with a question. Wouldn't you think, the pastor, I'm going to speak generically as the church. I've not been to your service. But wouldn't you think that in today's society, in today's world, that young people would be given a chance not just to hear the gospel, but to also respond? To me, it feels a little bit like being married without a response to the gospel and never really having a wedding. It reminds me a little bit of being married and not ever putting the ring on. It reminds me a lot of dating God instead of marrying. And so it's important to me that there's an opportunity given for young people to respond to the gospel. 3 decades ago, we founded Mission X Mission, my wife and I. Thank you for the help, by the way. Today, there are 3 ministries, but with 1 mission, okay? The mission that God has called us to is to create, like, it's important. Remember what I said? Create? Yes, bring me. Invite me to that and I'll show up. Create endless opportunities for young people to find Jesus. Creating opportunities endlessly till I go home for young people to find Jesus. Young adults between the ages of 15 and 30 are plagued more with loneliness, depression, anxiety, and straight-up hopelessness more than any generation in our history. This is the generation that Mission X is reaching. And of our 3 ministries, just for time's sake, I'm going to focus on the 1 ministry that God is shining the brightest on. If his face was glowing, then we were a mirror. The name of that mirror right now is called a safe place online.com. In January of 2020, remember about that time? What happened around March, April? I think it was called the pandemic. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. It sure was. In January, just before the pandemic, God led us, providentially, to start a safe place online.com. A few months prior, sitting in my office, feeling that this wave of revival was coming, and I knew it either had to do with the youth or to the youth or from the youth, but that's all I needed to know. I begged God that morning for probably the first time in my life to beg. I'd recommend it every now and then. I begged God to include me in what I saw was his coming revival. And praise God, he did. A Safe Place Online, you guys, .com, since then has become the number one website of its kind in the world. This is what the Lord has done. Super easy to see. You know, sometimes, you know, you work hard. I know you do. I know that about you. I don't even have to know you. You work hard. And sometimes it's confusing when Mark accomplished something. It gets vague. And you know it's the Lord. I know your heart. But sometimes it's a little hard to see. This one is not hard to see. This one's too big. This one's too messy. This one's too outside of my box to be able to consider that we had anything to do with this. This is the Lord's doing what's going on. I want to read a super verse. If anyone wants to be proud, he should be proud of what the Lord has done. Period. 2 Corinthians 10:17. Praise the Lord. Here's what A Safe Place Online does, okay? A Safe Place Online, it's a safe place, and it's a place, though it's online, that provides help and hope to young people, especially young ladies, around the world, meeting them immediately at their point of need. After they know that they've been seen, heard, and understood, okay, through our chat system, which you're getting ready to hear about, it's there after they've seen, felt, and understood, and heard. That's where we share Jesus with them. In that beautiful sanctuary that's been created, that's where we share it. And it's through our 24/7 live chat service is where we're meeting them. And that is working. Having seen, since January of 2020, almost 1 million young people make first-time decisions to make the Lord the boss, the Savior, and the only hope that they have, to make decisions to follow Christ. Documented, real people, real situations, and real hearts. We knew that this is something that only God could have orchestrated. You may be wondering, well, how in the world do you reach that many people? On my phone, on your phone, on their phone. Seeing our ads on social networking, they're compelled to learn more. This is what that ad looks like. Super simple, right? Not too complicated. We pay to have this put into their stream. This is the sign in the middle of the highway instead of on the side of the highway. It's interrupting their stream. We stopped inviting a few years ago, and we started interrupting. And it seems to really be working. We push pain points, loneliness, depression, anxiety, and they come to learn more. They feel connected, they feel understood, and they respond. This is what the funnel looked like last month. Let me explain this. Let's go to the right. This is a funnel. We don't know what that is. It starts big and it goes down. 59 million ads were seen in 30-day period recently. Okay? Those were seen. Those were actually on the phone. That's not like they somehow reached. It's like no. It got slowed down on. It was seen by real people. Of those people, 1,500,000 young people came to the website in 1 month. Okay, that's all. That's a chunk. Of those 1,540,000 young people that came there, 113,000 of them said yes to Jesus in 1 month, right? The first month, let this be an encouragement to you. First month, January, February, March, remember that story? I think we had like 4 the first month. Isn't that right, Keith? Something like that? We had like, then we had like 40 the next month. And we hit 71. Around March, I'm like, oh my gosh. Seriously, 71 people said, I want to follow Jesus. And I'm calling him the Lord and the boss and the Savior of my life today. I make him king and I repent. You just told me that Jesus understands me and he died for my sins and that he went to the cross for me, though I didn't deserve it. I trust in his grace. I see that you said he rose again. I believe that in my heart and I speak that with my mouth. And I make you the God, the Lord, the Savior of my life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just prayed this prayer for the first time in my life. They respond. We follow up with them. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. And, I'm an evangelist. And sometimes an evangelist and disciples and teaching and disciples, sometimes a little bit, they're different gifts. Well, we're doing our darndest to disciple. And it's working actually quite well. But praise the Lord, they're responding to the evangelistic call. Miraculously, you guys, for every $1.06 donated into this ministry, we see one young person come to faith in Jesus. Right. Didn't see that one coming. As you might imagine, getting to be included in this great move of God triggers me in a very positive way to invest the vast majority of our budget in reaching young people online, on their phone, right where they are. It's because this new frontier of digital evangelism is working right now on our watch. Why digital evangelism? When Jerry and I met, he goes like, tell him why digital evangelism is working. I'm like, okay, so that's what I'm doing right now, Jerry. Okay? Here we go. I'm an analog guy stuck in a digital world. Does anybody else like it? Okay. So just so you know, I see your hand is not up. What the guy with the beard, what? You, yeah. Sir? Jason, that's right. I met him in the back and we will be talking. But yeah, he didn't raise his hand because he's a little younger. He's maybe a lot younger. And that's cool. That's fine. That's good. God calls us outside of our little comfort box all the time, doesn't he? It makes it a little easier to not be confused if it was you. So the majority of our budget is invested to reach kids right where they are, and it's working. I want to explain. I'm about 3/4 done. Okay, in case you're wondering. Oh man. Okay, what are these? We all know. These are. All right. So these are albums. Albums. They're LPs. What does LP stand for? Yeah, that's my group right here. That's right. It's an LP. All right. So, remember the advancement of the you got record player, and then they came out with the CDs, and I remember going snow skiing, and I had the CD player. It's a Walkman, and it didn't skip when you're on the mountain. Like, come on. Like, dude, I had on headphones, and I'm skiing. Are you joking? Sun was out, and you can hear the squish of the snow under your skis. listening to, who knows, Aerosmith or somebody like that. I mean, that's what this was. I mean, I was probably listening to Public Enemy or one of those guys. But I like a little hip hop mixed with rock. So I want to quickly frame a digital world by using some analog things. So, phone, digital, MP3s are what they call the files of music. So you got MP3, then you got a record, okay? They're not better, they're just different. They both have great value, okay? They both represent a tremendous era. And they both meet certain needs. Why use digital evangelism? Today, boy, check this out. Why use digital evangelism? Well, it's because today, young people trust technology more than people. It looks like I didn't need to convince you of that. But if I did, I would say, remember last time you were in your den and you had some 18 to 20s sitting around and you said something? And they look at each other and went, that, they're trying to be respectful. And then what did they do? They said, phone. Dad actually fill in the blank. So it became the authority. I guess it's just that Keith and I were talking about it. I think it's mainly like we're outnumbered here than dad standing or mom standing in the room. So what do you do with that information that young people trust technology more than people? You use it. We might not be able to get them in church, but we can't get them to put down their phones either. What are you going to do with that information? What are we going to do? We're going to use it. Why does digital evangelism work so well? One word: efficiency. MP3, digital file, they stack, they float through the air, they land quickly, they sound amazing. Versus the beautifulness of the analog record and the skips and the warmth. Got it? They're both valuable. They're both represent an era beautifully. MP3s are representing our era today. So use them. And they meet certain needs. Analog. Billy Graham in a stadium. You got a flyer that's put on the telephone post that they put on there with glue. Praise God. Thank you for those people. I bet you guys are part of those people that would have done that. Heck yeah. Let's go. People end up coming. Praise God. It's incredible. They fill the stadium. And then people, praise the Lord, the gospel is presented. And then they come down and they give their life to Jesus. And they're followed up. And we're having a little bit better numbers than what we saw back in the day when people come there of post-engagement. It's never been a great thing that went down there, but praise God, somebody was telling them. How are they going to know if they're not told? Well, Billy told them, man. He told them. Praise God for him. So today, The stadium of yesterday is the internet of today. It's the new stadium. You invite them. They're already there, which is cool. You're not inviting them to some place they don't want to go. They're already there. Why digital evangelism? Why does it work? We stopped inviting and started interrupting. It's a little bit like putting a sign instead of analog on the side of the highway, big board, and hopefully they invite you to consider their information versus taking that sign and sticking it right in the middle of the highway. That's what we're doing in the funnel, okay? Praise the Lord, and it's working. Why is digital evangelism working right now? Hey, I'm gonna stop. So Keith, would you raise your hand, Bob? See the guy in the back there behind the Big Mac? Yes, sir. That's Keith Moore. He's our operations director, our chief operations director. He has played a massive role in helping these things being accomplished. He's like the construction guy. When you're on the highway and they're wearing those vests and they're there and they work into the night and they work in the day and they're working. He's not the guy just doing this. He's the guy getting her done, right? Right, Keith? Yeah, for sure. Take my word for it. So thank you, Keith. He's putting those signs right in the middle of the road and he's doing an excellent job. They're hard to avoid. Praise the Lord. I want to play this video to answer a question. Why use digital evangelism right now? Mm-hmm. This was recorded about 4 days ago.
Well, every generation seems to get a reputation for something. Baby boomers were said to be workaholics. Millennials appear to be obsessed with avocado toast. But according to a new report, Gen Zers are very curious about Jesus and the Bible. The chief religion correspondent, Lauren Green, is live in the New York newsroom with more on this. Lauren, good evening.
Hey, Trace, good evening. Well, Gen Zers are becoming more curious about Jesus and the Bible, as you said, in a new study by the American Bible Society, saying this could be a window of hope to reach Gen Z parishioners. Born in the late 1990s and early 2000s, only about one-tenth of Gen Z generations regularly engages with the Bible, according to the study. However, their curiosity in faith is on the rise. 56% of Gen Zers, 18 to 21, are very or extremely curious about the Bible and or Jesus, while 34% of those 18 to 21 also are Bible users. On top of that, around half of all Gen Z adults say their lives have been transformed by the Bible's message. 24-year-old Tessa Baker tells why she thinks young people are starved for faith.
I think the younger generation is striving for faith and hope in Jesus because we're feeling the burden of meaninglessness and a lack of purpose. You know, we're living in the most suicidal, anxious, depressed generation of all time, and I think we're really feeling the effects of that.
Well, so true. Well, this comes to no surprise for American Bible Society's Chief Ministry Insights Officer, who says ministry leaders may be surprised to find how open Gen Z adults in their communities are to discussions about God's Word. And if the trends we're seeing continue, it's crucial to be having those conversations now.
Now. Amen. Amen. The why and the why now is because the enemy is being super aggressive. We can't afford for a second to be passive. God has you in the city, has you alive right now in 2023, in September, for an incredible purpose and an incredible reason. I explained to somebody on a podcast yesterday, they're like, how do you find God's will? Well, my dad used to say that God's will is an unfolding revelation. Okay, he was a pastor of a megachurch with 22,000 members. He didn't start out to do that. He just preached the freaking paint off the wall. And people had to show up to hear it because he preached the word and God's truth and inerrancy. And the inerrant truth. And he stuck by the good old gospel. And boy, people lined up. Gee whiz. And so my point is, what is my point? Edie, do you remember? Why now? It's this. I'm just going to help you a teeny bit. I hope with God's will, if you're in search of the Lord's will, and you're trying to figure that out. A lot of us are artists. A lot of us are free-spirited, and sometimes that's hard a little bit for us. Sometimes we overthink it. Sometimes we underthink it. It's like, oh, God, please give me a, help me. Just write it on the wall. So what happens is the unfoldingness that my dad spoke of that I have found to be true in my life happens because it's like being in a tank, okay? And you got the commander, you got the general, and you got a walkie-talkie, okay? And he's given the commands, okay? He's given the direction, he's given the inspiration, praise the Lord. And I have found that he talks to a moving tank a whole lot better than he does a sitting tank, okay? So the unfoldingness can happen, you guys. The servant to go serve, check in, continue, have your eyes wide, not just fixed, and see what he's doing. And my wife always used to say, serving guys a little bit like a waiter. Last time you went to a restaurant, what did the waiter do? The last thing he really did was wait. A good waiter doesn't wait. A good waiter serves. And so we get to, like any good servant, remember back in the Bible, the servants always got to see the miracle first. It's because they were like, oh man, let's work, let's do it. And all of a sudden you find yourself with tremendous purpose. I didn't get married till I was 33 years old. I was a drug addict. I had just barely gotten sober. It's 3 or 4 years when I met Edie or less, and she had just come to Jesus, and we were like, wow, how is this? How are we going to take care of the future? I was making about $900 a month when we got married. And it's 24 years ago, 23 years ago. 27 years ago, thank you. Check. 27 years ago. So even back then, trust me, $900 wasn't much. We began to serve, and God showed us what to do. Checking in, walkie-talkie, mobile tank, okay? Gets to see the miracles first. Servants. Mm-hmm. Yes. So the enemy is being super aggressive. We can't afford to be passive. So what I would love for you guys to do is to stand with us and help us reach as many young people as possible. Well, what's your goal? Well, our goal was to reach a million young adults this year. It's going to be difficult for that to happen. It's going to be difficult only for really one reason. I wish I had a more sexy, a more ethereal answer. Ads cost money, and we're getting low. We're getting real low. And so we would ask Jesus, and we'd ask that this is no leverage. This is no nothing other than to let you know we're going to stay mobile. Our yeses are always on the table. Okay, we're not quitting. We're not depressed. We're not anxious. I'm not worried. But right now we can use your help a whole lot. The organic why of what we do, the reason of why we do what we do are these testimonies. We've got thousands. I just chose three or four. Read them yourself. You can read. That's the reason we do it, guys. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, man. When I had just the TV show, we weren't knowing. We couldn't tell who was watching. We couldn't tell who was getting saved. Today, it's really quite easy to tell. And we get testimonies nonstop, and I'd have given anything for a testimony for all those years. And felt like a guy that was going fishing and put a worm on a hook and you couldn't see there's in the water. It's like I'd give anything for a little bite. Oh man, that means somebody's watching. That means somebody's responding today. Today, it's a frenzy. You know why I think it's a frenzy? It's because the young people were fundamentally lied to. Okay? And it's a little bit like a dollar bill. How do they tell the difference between a real dollar bill and a fake one? You put a real one against a fake one. Here's the real one, right? It's easy to see. So when you put the truth and the lies next to each other, the lies didn't work, but I'm hungry for the truth. What is this? Because that resonates. It's going to require change. It's going to require all kind of things, but that's truth and I'm ready. It's almost like somebody showing up to the cash register it's a picture I get. Back in the day in the Gap, you walk in and the attendant is walking around. He's showing you the different clothes and this and that. But nowadays, young people don't need that. They're showing up at the cash register and they're saying, please help me. Please, this is what I want and this is what I know. That's what my picture here is. This is the truth and I want it. Let's go. There's no attendants walking around and showing you the blue one and the green one. Like that's inviting. We're interrupting them there and they're saying yes. Praise the Lord. We're telling them the straight up gospel. I just ask you super clear that will you be a part of helping more will you be not just us? This is important. I wrote this specifically. Will you be a part of helping create more opportunities for young people to find Jesus? And if you love seeing young people come to Jesus as much as we do, we'd ask that you consider investing in a young person's life. We think it's very valuable. Your support will go directly to reach this generation, giving them a very real opportunity to actually hear the gospel and also to respond. And then ongoing discipleship afterwards. And there's a lot. We were going to give you the list of the discipleship stuff. Instead, please hear me. There's a little table back there. Give us your email address. And we want to show you the prayer wall. We want to show you how you can go in there and pray for kids. All kind of stuff. All kind of stuff, okay? So let us know. And we'll give you the list and give you the link so you don't have to write them down. So we aren't stopping until all have heard, okay? And I, from what I know of you guys this morning, you're not stopping either. Mm-hmm. So let's make a difference together. Amen. I want to end by reading a Bible verse. Wrote it this morning because I wrote it last night at 1 in the morning. I was down on my knees praying for the day, and it was late, and I didn't really want to get out of bed and put my knees on the ground. But I thought, well, that's a little resistance. That's the very thing I need to do. So I went, and I'm praying, and the Lord reminded me of this verse. So I wrote it down. It says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard, thank you, about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. And I want to say it's all y'all's feet. All y'all's feet, the analog feet, the digital feet, the TV preachers, the street preachers, the pastor preachers, the online preachers, all y'all. All y'all's feet are beautiful. I looked into this beautiful feet thing recently, and it's actually speaking of you guys. It's speaking of the audible sound of good news coming up the mountain. Isn't that cool? That's what it said. So the audible, the sound of the, like you're on the either in the valley, or the mountaintop, or you're in the valley. It doesn't matter, but you're one of those spots or somewhere in between, and you are stranded and you need rescued, and you hear the good news coming, and you can, you're dying, you're hungry, you're thirsty, it's dark, and you hear the feet coming, and you know that your rescue is on the way. That's what this is speaking about. The beautiful are the feet of those that carry the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lastly, I got to tell that really it is lastly. My pastor loves this. Again, this is kind of funny, but I think you might laugh because it's true. That's generally when things are funny the most. He says, some go, some pray, and pay. As a believer, you can be one, but you can't be neither. You can pray, you can go, you can send, you can pay, you can pray, but you can be one of them. That's cool. But you can't be neither. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for not giving us a choice. I got too many choices. We cannot be neither. We are going to pray, we're going to go, we're going to give, or all three, but we can't be none. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for this church. I thank you for the word that is spoken here. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that resides in the hearts and the minds of those that show up on Sunday, as well as, Lord, we just thank you for the tradition of this 100-year-old building. How beautiful it is. So I ask, Jesus, that you just, your spirit exudes every single Sunday here, that you fill these chairs with people that cannot wait to be in your presence. Thank you for the excellence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for purpose. And we say, yes, Jesus, our yes is on the table. Please use us today, Lord. Thank you for thinking our feet are pretty. We love you, Lord. Please use our feet and our hands and our words and our hearts, Lord, today to share your love with a world that's just dying for you, Lord. Please give us the boldness and the strength. We say yes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.